This is the Elevate Podcast, where we have conversations to elevate your health, relationships, and soul. I'm Amanda Noga. I'm a yoga and Ayurveda practitioner, and each week I'm joined by my co-host, holistic health coach, Sarah Hopkins. So let's dive in to this week's episode.
Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Elevate Podcast. It's Amanda here. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Sarah Hopkins, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was actually really lovely. Managed to avoid any crazy conversations and any upsets all around, which obviously we talked about in the last episode, Mental Fitness. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it was really chill and really nice. And that's pretty surprising because I think it was on either Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve that there was a case of COVID detected in a human that was roaming freely around the state and more specifically the city. And so, of course, the whole city went into a crazy state of panic, which was stirred up by our leader, our fearless leader. I won't even say his name because there's no point. But yes, so we didn't go into lockdown, but we did have a mask mandate and masks in indoor areas. Yes, so it was on the 23rd of December and I was going out for dinner and we had an early dinner and drinks that started at 5 and at 6 o'clock we had to wear masks. So we walked in sort of unmasked humans and we had to walk out with a mask on. So that was sort of novel. And I think today the mask mandate ends all being well, although there has been an uptick of cases.
It seems like the world over. Like it's from my vantage point, it's quite hard to keep track of what is actually happening. But I feel like all I'm hearing is like everyone has COVID.
Yeah. I mean, look, no one has COVID in Perth because COVID is banned in Perth. Like quite literally, we have never allowed COVID in, and being the most isolated city in the world, we have had the fortune of and misfortune, I think, of being able to be the architect of that, you know. But you look at East Coast states and cities and wow, I mean, for the level and then look at the UK and look at these other places, right, where you
and
look
the
at
the
Yeah, and you look at the penetration of vaccination and the percentage of vaccination. I mean, particularly here and the UK, the US, I know that there's been more reluctance and I don't think they're as high as us, and that's, you know, a virtue of the nature of politics and freedoms and stuff over there. But, you know, here where every single state is looking at like 90%+ vaccination, and a lot of people are now entering into booster phases and we're like running rife with this virus. And, you know, the UK seems to be doing the same. It's like, what was the point is, I guess, the question that I have to ask.
I know that the point was not to eradicate COVID through the virus. We all know that's not possible. But it was kind of the promise, wasn't it? Like, okay, get all these vaccines and then the masks will be over, the social distancing, the lockdowns will be over. Wasn't that like the general deal?
I mean, like people want to try and pretend that that wasn't the deal now. Like people that are really, you know, full supporters of the vaccines, the mandates, any initiative that the government is, you know, enforcing, for want of a better word, you know, people want to pretend that that wasn't. But the method of communication was that, you know, if I'm just talking
about, this is our path out.
Out. You know, the politicians in Australia, let me just speak for the political communication here in Australia. It was get two jabs and it will be, firstly, the language was protect your community. That it was roll up for your community. That was actually the slogan, roll up for WA. I mean, it patently doesn't do that unless you talk about maybe relieving the hospital system, but it doesn't do that. And we've spoken about that. But the only way out of this and a return to our, in inverted commas, freedoms was vaccination. And it seems like, I know that a lot of the leaders now in each state are reluctant to lock down because that will be the most glaringly obvious sort of point. Yeah, point that they are not keeping their promises. The vaccination campaign didn't deliver that freedom that everybody was asking for. But even if it wasn't that, yeah, like you said, we're back in masks. I mean, we're going to be in masks for this entire year. So Melbourne, obviously most lockdown city in the world, you can't go anywhere if you're not vaccinated. That's just like part of their, you know, that's just how they, and you cannot go anywhere without a mask. So even though they're all like they have 90%+ vaccination, they still have to wear masks everywhere. And even while they're eating and drinking, I think, so I don't know what that looks like.
Sorry, it's not funny. And like, I'm laughing because it's a coping mechanism at this point. I'm actually feeling like from Christmas, I just felt so sad and deflated about the state of Australia. I just can't believe it. Like, words aren't even enough at this point. To say it's insane is like, sort of just feels like an empty label to put on it. But it's just, oh, it's just, it's just making me really depressed.
Well, you know, why don't you share like some of the implications for you and your family with all of this craziness? I mean, obviously we know about you.
Well, I think people who listen to the pod already kind of know this, but I haven't been able to go to Australia to see my family or friends like you for the last 2 years, like many people around the world. And that means that my family haven't been able to meet my son, who's going to be 2 soon. So they've like completely missed his whole baby phase. And, you know, my parents were hanging out for a grandchild for so long. Like, it's just, yeah, it sucks for them. It sucks for us. And one of my brothers lives in Sydney. He has COVID. My other sister lives in Vancouver and she listens to the podcast and hopefully she won't mind me saying, but she's a chef and, well, she was a chef. She's now left the industry because she was working for most of the year with a mask and a shield on for 12 hours a day, like absolutely intolerable work conditions. And yeah, Vancouver, like Australia, I think Canada is kind of mirroring the level of restriction. Like, you cannot move a step in any direction without having a vaccine, having a mask. They segregate everything from the train, you know, the subway, like carriages into vaxxed and non-vaxxed, the restaurants into two sides. Like, it's really, wow, really full on. But yeah, basically none of us can get into WA for my brother's wedding, which is in January, which means my brother is going to have none of his siblings at his wedding. His fiance, her maid of honor, can't get into WA. And I know that this is an experience that many people have had over the last 2 years. So yeah, I'm just feeling like the absolute devastation of that, you know, not to mention like family members that have died in the last 2 years who I wasn't able to say goodbye to or like be there to support in that way. And it's just, it goes on and on. And I really don't see an end in sight at this moment. And I guess that's what's quite depressing, is like, yeah, the relentlessness of it all. Even though everyone has, quote, done the right thing and got their vaccines, it's like, for what?
I know.
I really don't see any movement happening in next year, which maybe is a good segue into a topic because we wanted to talk today about manifestation, intention setting, all that sort of stuff that we kind of have this like impulse to do around New Year, right? New Year's resolutions is like obviously a very common thing. And I think even like people have moved away as a whole from New Year's resolutions because everyone understands that they're kind of bullshit and they don't really work. But in a way, it's hard to like even get into that mindset of like expanded, you know, like possibilities and like, what do we want to manifest? What do we want to create? What do I want to feel? When looking down the tunnel at 2022, it feels a little bit bleak for me in this moment anyway. It's like, yeah, nothing is really going to change in terms of the COVID stuff.
No, I don't think anything is going to change. So I think that, you know, unfortunately, we have to actually start to just accept that it is like this. I mean, obviously, for the sake of this episode, we'll talk about the practices that we can embody because, you know, you probably can't be manifesting a return trip home to Australia, right?
No.
And that's actually like an interesting, probably a little early to discuss, but here we are. You know, that's the thing about manifesting. I think there's a lot of misconceptions that, you know, if you think positively or if you just visualize something hard enough, it will happen, you know, and we'll break them down more, but it's more nuanced than that and it's more complex than that, you know, and there is like the realities of certain restraints. So there's things that you need to be aware of, like you need to be aware that just manifesting you being back in Perth by June this year, next year, sorry, 2022, that is, that's actually not a realistic intention / manifestation for you to be working towards, yeah?
Exactly. And the last couple of years, we've all, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I really have had this lesson of like, we can only respond to what life is presenting to us. And there's so many things that we can't control and we can't change. And life is always going to throw us curveballs, but the way that we navigate them is really what's important and what is something that we can, you know, have authority over in a way. And I spent most of 2020 like living month to month in a way, like next month it'll change, next month it'll change, next month it'll change. And it didn't. And then 2021, I was like, okay, I can't live month to month anymore. I can't live in limbo. Like we have to just like enjoy, you know, what we have here, which there is plenty too. But I did really hold strong for the whole year, I would say, until November. I had my, you know, real like dream vision for coming to Australia in December and spending like 3 months. And honestly, through the course of the year, I thought that was a very realistic vision to hold, you know, that felt like it was going to be, you know, pretty possible. And at the beginning of the year, it's like, oh, that's so far away. Everything's going to be cleared up by then. And maybe that's naive thinking, but that's what I was thinking all year. Like, yeah, we're coming back in December. And obviously it's the last days of December and I'm not there. So now I'm like looking at 2022 and I'll be honest, like at this point, I don't have any clear like themes or like guiding words or anything like that I'm working with at this point for 2022. I'm going to spend, you know, the next week or so kind of meditating on what that can be. But looking ahead, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to put any timelines on anything. I'm not going to put any expectations on any time that I'm going to be in Australia or seeing my family here if they can come to Bali. Like I have to dissolve all those expectations and even just say like, okay, maybe it's going to be 5 years.
Like, you know,
who knows?
It's a little bit like, you know, when we talk about manifestation, I know I sometimes hear, so I suppose one of your and my biggest manifestation mentors is Lacey Phillips, and we'll link her in the show notes. But she taught us so much about the energetics of manifestation and nuances in manifestation that we really hadn't delved into. And we'll talk about that more. But one of the sort of things that you hear people talk about is, I'm manifesting a job for my husband, or I'm manifesting this for my family or something. And, you know,
even a partner.
My husband, a partner. And the thing is, you can't manifest for anybody else. You know, you can only manifest for yourself. And, you know, like bringing in that concept of, like, you know, that I can't remember how to articulate it 100%, but the circles of control, like what you can control and then what you can't control, and then just focusing on what you can control. Well, like, there's so much in that can't control circle now because of the global pandemic. You know, like lots of things.
I mean, what you can control is really just a circle around your own mind.
Hello, it's Sarah here, and I'm just briefly interrupting this episode to tell you a little bit more about what I offer. So I've worked with literally hundreds and hundreds of women, helping them transform their health, hormones, fertility, and more. And I absolutely love working one-on-one with women, because we're all uniquely different. So if you're interested in learning more about coaching with me, or if you're ready to book an initial consultation, you'll find the link in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, like before you could control, like, I want to go on a holiday here, and I, you know, I want to travel here, and I want to see these members of my family then, and now those things are now out of our control. So they, from a manifestation perspective, they need to then fall away, like our partners, and like, you know, many other things that in the past we've thought that maybe if we think positive and we visualize, we can create these things for people around us. Well, we can't, and we can't really change the world for people around us either. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And let's spend a second breaking down what we kind of think about what our perspective is on manifestation, because like you said, there's lots of, I guess, like old new age, I didn't remember how to say that, but like,
yes,
new age kind of talk, and like, okay, the secret and all of that sort of that wave of very like surface level understanding of manifestation and like vision boards and all this sort of stuff. And there is some, I guess, a degree of merit in that. But I think most people, and probably not people listening to this, because, yeah, I feel like we've all kind of been on a bit of a journey throughout the years. And we definitely did an episode, I think it was maybe even like 2 or 3 years ago, you and I, on intention setting. But anyway, what I was going to say is the trap of that old new age way of approaching manifestation is thinking that we're going to feel XYZ when we attract the thing, the external thing. So whether that's the job, the car, the house, the partner, the dog, the holiday, the body, whatever it is, to expect that we're going to feel a certain way when we receive that into our life, that's the big trick and the big downfall. Because sometimes happens, what often happens is we do manifest, let's say in quotes, the job or the soulmate or the holiday, and then we're on the holiday and we still feel like shit. Or maybe that's a bit extreme, but it's like, okay, this isn't actually giving me the feels that I expected, and it's not fulfilling me in a deep way. Because what you and I kind of learn and live through is that we need to, and I imagine lots of listeners, we need to embody what we want to feel and get our self-worth and our feeling of deservingness into that place so that we feel how we want to feel, right? It's nothing to do with the external. And then if the external things come in, like the house or the job or the partner, whatever, it's almost irrelevant at that point. Mm. It kind of feels like, okay, cool, like, yeah, I called that thing in, I manifested X, and that's awesome, but my self-worth isn't dependent on that job or that partner.
Yes. And I will add just a little bit more to that. So, you know, like talking about some of those old New Age sort of philosophies, practices around manifestation, I think they got halfway there. Like if we think about like Abraham Hicks, who was, you know, like the first, and I'm sure we've talked about Abraham Hicks before on the pod, but like Abraham Hicks, which is a woman that basically channels a collective, and the collective is called Abraham Hicks, and her voice changes. And if you want to go, I think the coolest thing with Abraham Hicks is go and listen to, I can't remember what the main book that she wrote on Audible, because you can hear her at the beginning and then you can hear her voice change to Abraham Hicks, and it's cool. But there's millions of videos on YouTube as well. Anyway, like her or their sort of message to the human population, I guess, is like feel the feeling first, embody the feeling, and then it will come. And I think while that's amazing, and The Secret is sort of the same thing, it goes deeper than that, because just feeling the feeling and then expecting the thing to arrive, it doesn't take into account the subconscious. So say
the blocks.
So say you are wanting a partner and you're really, really wanting to manifest a partner, and you watch Abraham Hicks and you listen to some Abraham Hicks, and then you watch The Secret, and maybe you read some books about vision boards and you do all of those things. But you have some deep subconscious blocks that are about your self-worth, maybe from childhood, that you've picked up somewhere that says that you're not worthy of love. And that's like running in the deep subconscious neural pathways in your brain. So no matter how many times you visualize yourself with a partner and try and feel like you're already in love with that person, your subconscious is blocking that. And so
there's like kind of a level in between that as well, of like, okay, you might manifest a partner, but it might be if your level of self-worth is at a place where you feel like you only deserve X, and you know, you need to settle for like kind of a shitty relationship in one way or another, or, you know,
exactly
a relationship that doesn't actually fulfill your needs and your desires, that's a pointer to our feeling of deservingness and what we feel like we deserve. Which, I mean, we're really just like talking all the Lacey Phillips talk, but this brings me to like expanders. This is, I don't know if it's a common word that people use now, but I use it all the time in my in my life. But to have people, and I guess even before I was into Lacey Phillips' work, I had this understanding around, you know, if I noticed that I was jealous or envious of somebody in my field, I always took that as like a pointer of like, oh, okay, they're doing something that I on some level want. If I saw another yoga teacher teaching a retreat somewhere, like, I don't know, this is like a silly example, but I saw someone teaching a retreat in Costa Rica and I felt like a pang of like envy or something like that, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's a pointer to me that I maybe want to run a retreat in Costa Rica.
Definitely.
That sounds like such an absurd example right now, but I mean, this was the old life.
Yeah. But I think even to add to that, you like just for some reason this just came through earlier when you were talking. You are like, because so again, to talk to Lacey Phillips' work, like I said, we'll link in the show notes so you guys can look into it more if you want to, because there's loads of online offerings and it's super affordable and really practical and awesome. But Lacey Phillips talks about a method where you find, so if you're trying to expand the possibilities of manifesting more into your life, you look for people in your life or in, you know, other spaces online and stuff that your mirror neurons can identify with and expand the potentiality of whatever you want to bring in. So, you know, if you're trying to manifest a really good relationship, then you want to look at models of other relationships that look like the type of relationship that you want. It triggers the mirror neurons, and that helps your brain to then expand into that possibility if you do it in conjunction with working on the, you know, self-belief stuff and the subconscious low self-worth blocks and all of those things that we've alluded to. But what you're really good at, that I think in terms of expanders, and you've done this always since I have known you is, I think if you see something in someone that you're inspired by, you will go and like become friends with them. Like I think, you know, like if I think about Stu, I think I could be wrong, but like even me, like I think you were like, oh, I like Sarah. She's got like cool stuff going on. I want to be friends with her. Like that's you expanding yourself into, and you've done it with so many other people. Like you've got all these really powerful influence. I'm not one of those people, by the way. Well, I don't think so. But whenever you see someone that you sort of admire, you're not afraid to like bring them into your vortex. And I think that that is like you actually bring your expanders in. And I think that's pretty rare. Just a side note. Yeah, I think, you know, we can all just use social media for expanders, but I think the most powerful way to get expanders, and I think for some reason you've understood this concept way before we found Lacey Phillips, is to engage with them and build relationships with them.
Yeah, I think that is probably true. Like when I think about my expanders, they're mostly people that I'm really close with.
Yeah.
And that's because I love everyone that I'm close with. I think
the best. I feel like there's something in you where you're like, oh, I really admire that person. I'm going to reach out to them, and suddenly they're like really good friends with you. It's like it's that, and that's like the ultimate, one of the ultimate things that Lacey Phillips says is important. And I suppose there's lots of other people that might say it as well. Like, you know, I think Anthony Robbins talks about it. Lots of people say you need to surround yourself with
your circle of influence.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you're good at that.
Oh, thanks. Oh, but there was something else that we were going on a tangent with in terms of manifesting. But, yeah, I think to just kind of wrap up what our perspective is, yeah, it really, the foundation is self-worth. And yes. I guess to tie it to what you're saying about me kind of drawing those expanders in close, it's like if I see someone doing something that I admire or am inspired by, I guess my self-worth isn't blocked in the way of thinking that they're above me or like, or that I should be intimidated by them. I'm sort of, I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, I want to be close to them. I want them, I want to like magnetize them to me.
And I think.
And oh, yeah, that's where I was going. Sorry to cut you off. But it's this taking people down off pedestals, like having expanders. Like you might see somebody's relationship and think like, oh, that's a dream relationship. That's expansive. That's, you know, a couple goals or whatever. And I think that is definitely an important thing, especially if you're wanting to call in a healthy, beautiful, expansive relationship. But there also must be the understanding that no one's perfect and no one's relationship is perfect and no one's job is perfect. No one's, you know, bank account is perfect. Like taking this hierarchical structure out of it and just seeing it all kind of as a bit more of play, you know, like to not be overly identified with the stuff and to know just because the common example that people say is like, okay, well, like Donald Trump is an incredible manifester. His self-worth is like through the roof. And that's why he's like, or was in this super duper position of power and, you know, wielding his power in whatever way that he wanted. It's not because he's like doing his vision boards and he's like thinking positive vibes all day. It's about his feeling of deservingness. Does that make sense? Is that a weird example?
No, that's a really good example because I think, you know, I think that that is such a good example for people to really think about what it means to be like. Lacey's website is called To Be Magnetic, and it is thinking about how to be magnetic because what does a magnet do? A magnet just attracts things, and you don't have to be a good person to be magnetic, you know, but you have to believe in yourself and have self-worth. And lots of the really successful and influential people are maybe not good people. You know, it's not about affirmations and thinking positive thoughts and being kind, and karma will reward you. It is actually about how in your worth you are. And that's why those are, and some people are all of those things and also magnetic, but you know, that's the perfect example, because it's about how in your worth you are.
And I guess that's a bit of a trap in our like spiritual or like conscious communities, is that
yes,
if something bad happens, or if we're not manifesting, let's just continue with this example, but if we're not manifesting the partner that we want, it's because, you know, we're not like doing enough visualization, or like keeping our vibe high enough, or something like that.
Yeah, or thinking positively enough, or
exactly. And that's just such a trick. And I guess just looking at that train of thought, that in essence is a low self-worth way to think. You know, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing enough, I'm not doing, you know, I don't deserve whatever. And something that, so Mark and I were talking about this kind of interesting dilemma that comes up all the time, you know, in all of our lives. And we're talking about when we're in a rut. So like we're talking about friend basically who wants to change their situation, and specifically around money. But when Mark offered XYZ solutions, like really practical things of like, get this app, do this, you know, we'll invest this together, you know, we'll go half and half, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they are not able to make that move. There's just like, when he offers those types of solutions, it's just crickets on the other line. Like there's just no response. And what I was kind of unpacking is that, yeah, that's because even though they do want to change on some level, being in the rut sometimes is more comfortable and safe and in a way easy for our brain to stay at that same spot, rather than like rewire and expand and up level into, yeah, actually I can empower myself to make a change and I'm going to download the app. Like it's as simple as that, you know? But when we're in that low self-worth, it's, yeah, it's like such a deep brain trench that it can be really difficult. And I'm not like trying to downplay it with saying things can be fixed as simply as just downloading an app. Of course, I'm just using this as an example, but to recognize like, yeah, this is actually really deep work.
Yeah. And that's why I think we like LP's work, because it helps to, through journaling and hypnosis and reprogramming the brain, it helps to break some of those neural pathways that are so well trodden that, you know, they're just like exactly like you were saying, they're just where your brain is going to go, oh no, no, like it's almost like that sentence, I'm never going to find a partner, that's the overriding pathway that your brain, even if there's like this amazing person in front of you that someone's tried to set you up with, you're going to be like, oh no, you know, you won't even see them, you know, or like you said with the money example, you know, there's so many opportunities, but your brain is like, I will never make money, or, you know, I'm always poor, I'm always broke. Those things are like,
I can't afford it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the deep, that's the line that the subconscious is running without us even really being aware of it, because it's just so deeply ingrained.
And that's like literally subconscious programming that is running the show and is actually just, you know, probably collected in childhood.
That's not probably. 0 to 7 is, we all know, that's when the subconscious mind is formed.
Totally.
Or shaped. Not to be a broken record, but I have to just say, like, yoga and meditation is how we rewire our brain and create neural plasticity on a daily basis. Like, sorry to say it, but it doesn't need to even be like any fancy or specific journal prompts, or it doesn't even need to be, I don't think, like specific meditation. Just the act of meditation is doing the subconscious. I mean, if you're actively really doing a meditation practice, that is how we get into the subconscious mind and, you know, clear our blocks and clear our karma and clean things up and get a clear perspective and able to see ourselves clearly, become aware of our patterns, and then, you know, then we can change them and evolve. It does it on its own. The yoga and meditation, it works. It does this work.
Yes. It's like your little light mantra that you say in every episode.
But it's true.
I know. I mean,
all of the modern kind of stuff, like any modern teacher, including Lacey Phillips, is just talking yogic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we can dress it up in so many different ways and rebrand it. And of course, we need to rebrand and pivot things in order for them to be marketable and for them to be like a new product or a new experience that people can buy into. But at the end of the day, most of the shit that is on the market is yoga pulled apart and dressed up in different forms. Sorry, just saying.
Well, I feel like maybe I should, I think I've already shared it, but I think I should share it just in the context of like a manifestation sort of formula that is, in hindsight, not at the time, but sort of follows a formula around self-worth and around courage and around all of those things. Do you think I should share my manifestation story, the Rafa story, the ego story?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I know I've shared it before on the pod, but I think I'm going to give it the manifestation context because there's a few key points in it that make it like a true sort of formula, manifestation formula that I didn't realize at the time. So basically, I had low self-worth in relationships and really wanted to have a child, as most people would know. And I ended up in a relationship that was definitely not sort of in alignment and not really fulfilling to me, but that I felt was the pathway to marriage and then child. And so I stayed in that relationship, even though intuitively
settling none
of it was right, totally settling. And of course, you know, when you stay in something that's not right for you, you are going to be like tapped on the shoulder and then nudged and then literally shoved.
And like bonked on the head.
Yeah, like the universe is going to push you and sort of try and push you out of things, you know, and you're going to feel it if you're even remotely intuitive. So obviously I could feel it really strongly in my body that it wasn't right. And my then partner proposed to me, and when he proposed to me, I was a whole body no, and I said yes. And I was like, I didn't even want to tell people that I was engaged because I was like, this just feels so wrong. But I was doing the numbers on it. I was doing the sums. I was like, this is going to give me a baby. This is the fastest way for me to get my baby. It doesn't matter. We'll
like Carrie Bradshaw wearing the ring on her necklace.
Exactly. It was just so out of alignment, and it felt so uncomfortable actually just to be in that space, in that dysfunctional relationship. But I was like, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to get my baby. I'll work the marriage thing out. It'll all be okay. So I was really like in total low self-worth and just not listening to my inner guidance. And it became unbearable, but we had half planned the wedding. And then I ended up having to break up that relationship and cancel the wedding. So that was the point with manifestation. Often there is a point where, and anyone that is in a relationship or a job or a situation that they want to transcend will know how uncomfortable it feels, because it's so scary to know that you have to do something that you really don't want to do. It's really uncomfortable. And lots of people sit in that space for years and years and years. And I would argue that potentially creates dis-ease in the body. But I couldn't sit in it for very long. But, you know, I had to do something that was super, super uncomfortable and really controversial, because I'd sort of involved my entire life in this relationship. I'd sent everyone, saved the dates for the wedding, you know, we booked the venue, blah, 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 blah. So it was like my parents were involved, his parents were involved, his entire friendship. my entire friendship groups, we were all invested in this. And then I had to jump off that cliff and just be courageous and say no. And that was like one of the worst and hardest decisions in my life. The worst. My dad was like trying to talk me out of it. So I had to like push up against like societal familial pressures, right? And so I did something that like required absolute bravery. And, you know, I, at first my bravery was not rewarded. I fell into a really deep dark depression and I was suicidal. I, you know, definitely contemplated taking my own life because I honestly thought this is it. It's over for me. I'm never going to have a baby. It is over. I am 38. You know, by the time I meet someone, which could be years, and then, you know, spend time with them and then get engaged and then get married, I'm going to be 46. Like, it's over. I'm not having a child. And it was during that period that I saw a therapist that suggested that I go and have a baby on my own. And it was in the moment that she said that, that this levity came across me. And I suddenly like almost instantaneously came out of my depression. And I started to realize that there was potential for me to have a baby outside of the restraints that I had put upon myself. And so I went through the motions, went to a clinic. Unbeknownst to me, a family friend worked at that clinic and bumped me up the wait list, which was over a year long. So I was in getting my sperm donation to have a baby on my own. When I decided to have a baby on my own, when I jumped off a cliff, I made that brave and scary decision. I left my partner. I made the unsafe choice. I made the controversial choice. I left my partner and then I decided to do something. So I took action, affirmative action, and made a brave choice to do something by myself. The universe rewarded me. The universe rewarded me. My business took off. It was like the first year that I made six figures easily. I was fully booked. People were just, I was magnetic. People were just like knocking down my door. I manifested this house. I was living, we were forced to move out of the house that we were living in. I was basically homeless. I was living at my mum's house. I was 38. I was living at my mum's house. I was depressed. I manifested this amazing architect designed beautiful house for like ridiculously cheap. It was like family friends that were like, would you please live in it for us? I manifested this amazing flatmate. I'd always had problems with flatmates. She's still like one of my dearest friends. We had great chemistry. We never had any issues. We lived together. It was just perfect. And then just as I went in to get my first donation, I think just around the time that I found out that I had a donor and that they could fit me in, a friend of mine said, I've got this guy. I think you should meet him. He wants to meet a nice Australian girl and settle down. And at the time I said, oh no, I can't right now because I'm in the middle of this thing. And she was like, just talk to him. Just I'm giving him your number. Just take his call. And I was like, oh God, I really don't want this right now, you know, because I was so happy. I was just, and that's the other thing. I was so magnetic. I was so happy. I was at peace. I had everything that I wanted. My life was so good because I had taken that risk and I'd been in self-worth and I'd said, I'm worth more than that. And I'm brave and I'm courageous and I'm going to do it. And so I went on a date with this guy and it was Iggy. And at our second date, I was possibly pregnant with some sperm donor's child. So that was weird. So I was like, I was also so magnetic because I was like, I don't need you. There was no desperation in my energy. Like normally I probably would have been a little bit more like, you know, maybe this can be the guy. Thirsty, exactly. And of course, Iggy was incredibly interested in me and persistent. And of course, I did also really, really like him. And we ended up falling in love and luckily the sperm donor didn't work out. But when I told him a couple of months later what I was doing and you know, how that had been my plan, he said, after us being together, I think about 4 months, let's try together for a baby. And so we tried for a baby and we fell pregnant the first month. So in the space of 6 months, I went from totally blowing my life up, like the picture perfect
detonate a bomb.
Yeah, like perfect partner, you know, super successful, really good on paper, all the picture perfect things. I blew my life up. I went from having nothing, not a home, not a relationship, nothing, to having everything that I had wanted with a partner that I was madly in love with. And our partner that agreed to try having baby after 4 months of being together. Like, what are the chances of that? They're slim to none, you know.
Well, it's also like the chances are just as high as what your self-worth is.
Yeah, and all of those things. Like, I think so there's lots of different things, and this is a bit Lacey Phillips, but there's lots of different things. Like, there is, you know, if you will manifest, you will be way more magnetic if you can take risks. Like, if you can be courageous and not just silly things like, oh, okay, I'm just going to leave my husband if that means I'm going to make $1 million even though I love him. But if you're in a relationship that you know is not working anymore, and deep down inside you're wanting to manifest something else, not relationship wise, maybe the power is in, part of the power is in leaving that relationship, because that will make you magnetic. Does that make sense?
I think another one that a lot of people can relate to, especially through COVID years, is the job. You know, everyone's talking about like this time in history being known as the big quit or something like that. Because so there's been like mass resignation because, I guess people are like at their wits' end. But this is a really interesting time in history, because if those people, I mean, okay, so if you're in a job that you hate, or maybe you don't even hate it, but you know that it's not what you love and you know that you're settling, then yeah, just in exactly the same way as the relationship, to take that leap, to know that you can do what you love and that you can work in a way and create abundance for your life in a way that is totally aligned, not just settling because we have to do X, Y, Z and all the societal things that come in, just like with a relationship, the same applies to often a job. Yeah, I don't even know where this train of thought's going, but it's kind of like the same structure.
Well,
when we take that leap, jump off a cliff.
Yeah, and I think the job is probably a big one for a lot of people. Like, relationship and job are probably the two big things that a lot of people want to manifest, you know, want to create in their lives, and probably biggest is job, right? And, you know, I mean, a lot of people will try to manifest a new job inside of the job that they're settling for. And, you know, I'm not suggesting you should just quit your job and have no job. That's not wise. But, you know, there does come a time where you have to take, you have to be courageous. And, you know, perhaps if you save for a little while and you have enough money, if you resign from that job, you will then be creating the space for something else to come in.
I often think with like a vision board, more than like filling it up with stuff, what we actually need to do is like create white space.
Yeah, I love that.
Because it's in that open space that the universe like comes in and serves up whatever it is that we're really wanting to call in, you know. If there's no space, like where is this new job going to fit? If we're like, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's probably, it goes without saying, like, don't just go and quit your job, but staying in a job or relationship or a house that isn't the one is what creates disease in the body.
Okay, my love, it's Amanda here. And instead of telling you about my yoga and Ayurveda offerings as per usual, if you want to learn about what I'm currently offering, go to yogaalchemy.com.au and you can see if there's one-on-ones available, group mentoring, teacher training, and all that stuff. What I'm really here to tell you about today is Karma Collab. So many of you are already familiar with this project that I started about 7 years ago in support of women and girls in rural India and also now here in Bali. Karma Collab is entering, as we go into this new year, its next evolution, its next phase. And part of that is a brand new jewelry collection where all of the proceeds go to providing education for girls and also providing support for mothers through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. So it's something that I'm really excited about. And there's lots of other ways that we can join forces and really empower ourselves through the act of giving and receiving. So if you want to learn more about Karma Collab, join our mailing list, go to karmacollab.org. The link will be in the show notes, of course, and come and follow us on Instagram. So much love is poured into this project, and I'm really excited to have you as part of our global network of women who support other women through real action and activism. Mwah.
I actually had this conversation with a friend of mine recently who has wanted to leave her husband for many years and has tried a few times unsuccessfully and had sort of gotten to the point where she was like, oh, well, I'll just sort of stay. I'll stay for the kids and I'll stay until they get a bit older. And I actually used my example of what happened to me when I finally was brave enough to end my engagement. And, you know, she was like, I'm scared. What if I'm alone forever? And, you know, this is a really bad mistake. And, you know, I just had to remind her, you know, the universe will reward your courage. New opportunities will open for you. Like, she's quite stuck in her career as well. And like other areas of her life have always also been stagnant, which I don't think is a coincidence. And so, you know, I sort of wanted to say to her, and so this is just sort of saying to anybody, like, when you move out of what part of your life that is stagnant, all the other parts expand outwards into possibility.
It's all related.
Which is why I got the house, I got the flatmate, I got my career, I got everything.
Yeah, because your self-worth isn't like isolated in one area of your life. It permeates into every aspect of our life. And it goes back to what you said before. It's like the universe, whatever you want it, life will give you like that little tap or that little whisper inside of like, this isn't quite right. Or, you know, maybe a sign. And then if we don't listen or if we don't take action, it'll get bigger. And then there'll be, you know, a bigger thing and a bigger thing and bigger thing. And then eventually, yeah, we can get sick. And I think when you say like the universe will reward your courage, it's kind of tied in a way to like when we have that spark of courage, that impulse, that is coming from our deepest truth. And what the universe is actually rewarding is not just the courage or the bravery to do the hard thing, but it's actually the energy, the energetic of being in our truth and our authenticity, that is that magnetic pull that the universe, you know, like feeds off more and more. When we're really living the truth of who we are, as much as that might be scary, and for sure our ego is going to do everything it can to try and keep us safe, and that's why the old relationship or job or, you know, financial situation often feels safer and more comfortable than taking the leap. It's the ego's way of keeping us protected. Yeah, it's that essence of expressing our truth in that brave moment that calls in more of what our true self desires.
Definitely. I love that. So we are coming towards the hour. So I'm wondering how we can wrap this part of the pod for it to be maybe helpful. Do you think a couple, I know we don't normally do recces, but do you think we should have some recces?
Well, I think like a couple of days away from New Year, and it does feel like kind of a strange New Year. And I guess every single year it's like, oh, next year, everything will change. And we have this like, you know, sort of weird idea that the clicking over of the calendar will somehow like make everything different. And I think we can all probably recognize that, yeah, that isn't happening. But in saying that, I do really feel like this bracket kind of, for me, that kind of starts around the solstice, which is the 21st of December. And then I always kind of think of it as like a bit of a bracket that flows through until the first new moon in January, which looking ahead, that will be on the 4th this year. And so even though the calendar year is kind of just like a label, there is something to be said for taking this time to reflect, to be grateful. And I guess just while I'm here, I do think that the energy of gratitude is magnetic as well, and celebration, like celebrating the things that we are grateful for, in a way is communicating to the universe, like, yeah, this is what I want more of. That's just kind of something that I think. But yeah, so being in this mode of like reflecting, recognizing what we are grateful for, even though it's been a challenging time, and being honest with ourselves, like, yeah, the challenging times may be continuing and there are going to be many things that we can't control, but looking ahead, what do we really want to anchor? And these are questions I'm asking myself, you know, looking ahead over the next like week or so until that new moon on the 4th, which is really a potent time for planting new seeds of intention. It's like, okay, amongst all this fucking insanity, what do I want to anchor into? What are the qualities that I want to create in my own, you know, life and my own feeling in my heart and in my body and in my mind? Like, what am I calling in for the next year? Because we do have, you know, that capacity to experience the feelings that we want to experience, even though the external context might not look as we expect. So yeah, that's, I guess, something that I'm going to be reflecting on over the next like week or so, and getting clear. I think having clarity when it comes to manifestation is a big one. And if you don't feel clear, that's fine and that's normal. And I think it's especially valid in this year because, yeah, all the things that we've already touched on. But in order to get clear, all we need to do is get still. And then it's in that quiet space that the clarity kind of just bubbles up from within you. All of the things that you might desire are already like residing within you on some level. It's not something that we need to reach outside of ourselves to kind of grasp or think up. It's not like, okay, I need to think up 5 things that I want to manifest. No, these are like deeply held things within us that will bubble up quite spontaneously and naturally, organically, when we create the space for them to do so. And so I'm literally talking like create some space in your home, create some space in your calendar, some time simply to sit, to write, to drink a cup of tea, to go by the river, like whatever you do to get kind of clear and quiet. And then those natural intentions will, yeah, they will reveal themselves without us needing to reach outside of ourselves to gain. Like, we don't need to look on Instagram or look in a magazine to think up some manifestations that we want for the next year ahead, you know?
No. And on that note, I think in our next episode, we will share just a simple word, what our word of the year will be. I think we spoke about that. So we'll take some time. I feel like I already know what my word is going to be, but I think we'll I think we'll share that next time for everybody.
Yeah. If you guys do word of the year, let us know what your word is.
Yes, definitely. And don't forget, well, actually, should we do the listener question and then finish with?
Yeah, I know I've recommended this before, but I guess with any good recommendation, it's tried and tested and can come up again and again because it's actually, you know, really helpful. But if you want a framework to get to some clarity on what you want to feel around manifestation, then I love the work of Danielle Laporte and her Core Desired Feelings kind of manual or book. It's kind of like a process that you go through, and I've done it like years and years and years repeatedly. So yeah, if you do want
the desire map, isn't it called the desire map?
Yes, that's right. And obviously we've referred to Lacey Phillips a million times in this episode and we love her, so we'll link both of those.
Yes. Okay, so let's move into the listener question. Let me see if I can get it up. Bear with me. It's not where I thought it was going to be. Here we are. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing. So it says, listening to this one now, this is in relation to the bloating episode. So spot on. I was every category, living off next to nothing in early 20s, vegan, mid to late 20s, and finally balanced, nutrient dense by late 20s. I'm about to do a full microbiome mapping for one of my boys due to lots of skin and tummy issues. This episode made me think of him as he loves raw foods and hates cooked veggies and would opt for fruit over meats and veg. My listener question, would this apply to kids too? I have friends with similar issues, so I feel it may be common.
So,
good questions. So just good. To like give some context, if you haven't listened to our episode on fasting or bloating?
Bloating.
If you haven't listened to that episode, definitely go back and listen. Yeah, we speak just briefly about the ways in which we commonly think are healthy to eat that are actually causing bloating and other imbalances. So like this listener says, like the raw food, fruits, raw veggies, and the kind of desire for those over cooked food. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So firstly, I think everything that we spoke about in that bloating episode applies to kids. That's the first thing. Of course it does, because, you know, we talked about the importance of eating regularly, and kids need to eat even more regularly than adults. So, you know, typically I say it's every 4 hours that adults need to eat, like during the wakeful hours until, you know, dinner time. But with children, it's every 3 hours. And you can see that with young kids, that they're like constantly wanting to eat, that they're coming up and saying they're hungry like a couple of hours after they've had their breakfast or lunch. And that's because, you know, they're more metabolically adapted and they need to eat more. So, you know, I think that's, and hopefully most parents intuitively are doing that, because if they're trying to, you know, force their kids to fast, then that's, you know, not ideal. Although I do know one of my friends and clients and listeners of the pod actually said that a couple of parents at her school, which is a Steiner school, are actually making their kids fast, which I thought was shocking. But yeah, so they need to eat regularly. And yeah, if they are having issues with their gut, and I'm sure that you'd agree, Amanda, then even their fruit would be better to be cooked, because it's just, it's a pre-digestive process that's just going to enable them and enable their probably weakened digestive fire, their weakened stomach acid constitution, to actually break that food down. And it is really important that kids are getting protein regularly, because that will help to build that acidity, that, again, like that you would say, the agni, the fire in the upper digestive system, which will then help them to break all of their foods down. So I would say that that would be the best way to start with kids, like rather than doing strict elimination diets, doing fasting, doing all of these things that I'm hearing about, just to feed them really regularly, feed them protein and carbohydrates at every meal, and just cook their food. I know that that might be hard if they're like leaning towards more raw, but yeah, it isn't in any way a different approach for the children. What do you have to add, Mans?
Yeah, I think everything that we said in that episode applies to kids, just 10x. It's in those early years that our gut health is really forming.
Yes.
And, yeah, to just kind of go off more of what you said, I mean, yeah, basically if you're curious about what the recommendation would be for kids, it's everything we said in that episode. So I don't need to recap that. But it would be really interesting to observe, you know, if there's skin issues going on, and probably I'm going to assume other like emotional or mental imbalances going on as well, because just like in adults, it's all related. Our gut health affects our mental health so much. They're completely related. And so our ability to digest, this is kind of the Ayurvedic perspective, our ability to digest food is mirrored by our ability to digest life. And it's especially obvious in little kids, because, you know, we're so much less conditioned and there's less filters. And often what I've observed in kids, especially, yeah, like elimination seems to be a big kind of common go-to when there's dietary or digestive issues for kids, which I think is an interesting kind of like trend that maybe is not so helpful. But yeah, it would be interesting to observe, you know, what is the child's ability to digest life? You know, if they're hypersensitive or emotionally dysregulated or anxious and all these things, we're going to see all of that shift when the food is taken care of.
100%.
There's a famous kind of line by Krishnamacharya, who's an old yogi guy, and he said like 80% of our problems are food problems, are dietary problems.
Yeah, that's so true.
So, yeah, just to kind of add that in, it's just interesting to observe like the whole picture, especially with kids, because like I said, there's less conditioning, there's less filters, it's all pretty clear. Mm. So the recommendation is pretty much just do everything that we said in the episode.
Love it. And the final wrap is, what is your favorite manifestation for 2021, Mandy? And then I'll share mine.
I think my favorite manifestation, because it happened like so seamlessly and easily, was this house that we're currently living in. I guess it's amplified by so many friends around us just constantly having like I have three or four good girlfriends here that have all had the same experience of living in like 11 houses in 12 months.
You know? Whoa. Like
houses here are, yeah, it's a thing. It's a whole thing. But without going into all of that, and I guess this is a good example or reflection of the way that the manifestation stuff works. So it was actually during my Panchakarma, which I did in October, I started to feel, and again, okay, so this is a good example, like I was creating this space during this Panchakarma time, and quite naturally and without me like specifically doing anything, but out of that space started to come this little feeling of like, oh, I think we're going to be moving house soon. I think our time at their current house is nearly up. And there was actually nothing bad going on with that house. There was like no real external reason to move aside from just this feeling inside. But I know, because of, you know, my years and years of doing this type of practice around manifestation, I know that if we stayed in that house beyond that little quiet impulse, shit was going to start to go wrong. Like that's just how it works. And then eventually we would have been forced to move for one reason or another. But I was like, okay, Mark, I think we're going to move soon. Let's see what happens. When we got back home, Mark and I did a list of things that we would want in a new house, you know, like all of the different kind of qualities, how many bedrooms, what price, all of the different factors. And I guess from our understanding as well of human design, which in human design, I'm a manifesting type. So are you, Sarah Hopkins. Mark is a projector. And so we can know from looking at our human design charts that both Mark and I, our manifestation style is to be specific. You can be either specific or non-specific. And if you're non-specific, it's sort of, you can leave things a bit more open. Whereas if you're specific, it's really, really helpful to get into the nitty-gritty details, even down to like, you know, I was saying like what kind of flooring I want in the house, and you know, the way that I want it to be facing, all these like very specific details, right? So anyway, we got home from the Panchakarma, did the list. I think it was on a new moon, and probably knowing me, and then just sort of waited to see what would happen. And then within a few days, I got sent the contact for an agent. And it was the agent works in an area that we were not currently living in and had kind of no real plans to move to this part of Bali. But I messaged the agent. I was just kind of following the little signs at this point. So I messaged the agents. I said, hey, this is my list. Do you have anything? And they sent me back a couple of links. This was the first house that I looked at. So I came and looked at it on a Wednesday, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty interesting. We could live here. And actually, to be honest, when I first saw it, because it's really beautiful, I did have a moment of like, can we live in a house this good? Like, it was a moment of, you know, having to expand into the possibility of like, yeah, we can live in a house this good. And it's going to fit all my criteria. Like, they're going to give us a year lease. It's going to be at the price we want. All of these different factors that in Bali are quite hard to find. Like, you know, it's hard for anyone to give you a year-long lease at this point because they're all just waiting for the Airbnb rates to open back up and them to be charging like $1,000 a night. So, yeah, there was that moment of like, ooh, can we live here? Like, is this possible? Anyway, I was like, yeah, it is possible. So I came home. Mark came and saw it a few days later and he was like, yeah, great, okay. And then we did some negotiating with the owner, like, again, like how long we want the lease for, how, you know, just like the nitty-gritty details of the payments and all that sort of stuff. And it was a little bit more than our old house price-wise, but, you know, we like did the math and we're like, you know what, we can afford it. It'll be a bit of a lifestyle change, but it's worth it and we want to make this change. And so, yeah, we did the deal, got off the phone from the guy, the owner, and then literally 10 minutes later, we got another phone call from Mark's employee, basically saying that from the exact month that we're moving into the house, he's going to be getting a pay increase, and it exactly covered the gap of what the new house would be costing.
That is just crazy.
Like another cool example of like, yeah, we took that little leap. It wasn't anything exactly like insane.
Yeah. But
then when you take that leap, it's like the universe like catches you and supports you because yeah, we were in our worth of making that decision. It wasn't like a dumb financial decision. We were like, you know what? Yeah, it's, we can afford it. Like, it's fine. And it's going to be worth it. Like, we feel like we deserve to live in this beautiful place. Yeah, it might mean that we're going to change a few other things. That's what we want to do, you know? That's what we deserve. And so here we are. And then the move was really easy. Everything's been, like, just great. And it just feels very aligned and easy. And, like, we had our Christmas lunch here with lots of friends. And people were like, how did you find this house? Like, oh, my God.
And wow. I need a tour, please, a virtual tour.
But it's like, yeah, just when I really believe that when you follow that little impulse that yes, I got, you know, just a few months ago, it can happen really easily.
Yes, I agree.
So that's my fave.
Okay, I don't have anything near as exciting or as detailed as that, but it's probably good because we're well into the hour now. I gave an equally long story, so it's all good. So I will just say probably I think the thing that I will say is my best manifestation, I don't know if favorite, but just sort of the one that seems the most obvious standing out this year is my online course, because
yeah,
it was just something that I had been trying to do and release for like nearly 6 years, maybe longer. So, and then in the last couple of years, I started to do the Lacey Phillips stuff around it. And then I got the momentum. And then finally, so I launched it. It is complete. People buy it, you know, now I'm making money from it. And, you know, it's there and, you know, people are feeling better for
receiving the benefits,
receiving it. So I think that's mine. My finally,
yay,
6 years in the making, my course is now available.
Yeah. And that's another good kind of point to make. Like, we cannot, talking about all the things that we can and can't control, we can't control the timeline on things. Like, I gave my example of this like pretty fast manifestation from October to December of getting a new house. But
mine was 2 years, like 2 years of trying to manifest it, of like doing the Lacey Phillips stuff.
And I guess like to go into that a little bit more, there was some work for you to do around feeling worthy of like putting it out, right?
Totally. Yeah. Lots of like self-doubt. I mean, you know, the biggest one was like, who am I to, you know, who am I to release a course? Like, I don't know anything about anything, you know, all of that. And that's all self-worth. And I had to get over that and just, and again, like it was in the blocking through, working through the low self-worth, but taking action. Like I could have worked on my low self-worth around that and done nothing, which, you know, was what I did for a long time. But then I had to do all of this stuff, like hire a videographer and then, you know, plan out the modules and sit down and record them and edit them. And, you know, then I had to hire a virtual assistant at the end to project manage the release, because I had all these blocks around. Once I got past the block of like, okay, I can do this, it was like blocks around everything. But, you know, like, oh, but I don't want to record videos, or, oh, but I don't want to, you know, which is everyone all the time. So, yeah, there was loads of unblocking and pushing through barriers for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's still barriers, like, you know, I still need to focus more on marketing and all of those things. So it's ever evolving. But yeah, it was totally. It was pretty fulfilling to actually have it be complete and, you know, have people purchasing it for sure. And having people get pregnant. That's the most important thing, people getting pregnant. But I think that we should wrap. It's well and truly into the hour. So everybody has
thanks to everybody for listening to our podcast this year.
Yes, thank you. And we're coming back in the new year, and we'll definitely be armed with our words of the year. And please subscribe and leave us a review, and also please send us a DM with any questions that you might have, so we can always answer a listener question.
We love you guys.
We love you.
Thanks for making the Elevate podcast possible.
Happy new year.
Thank you so much, as always, for listening to the Elevate podcast. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review so we can keep bringing these conversations to you all.